Last three, very rapidly. Whether somebody has a focus on generalities or specificity. Somebody who focuses on the general big picture does not want you to tell them all the details. That will bore the heck out of them. And if your style of training or marketing is to tell them all the details, you've lost them. Somebody who is a specific person, however, if you tell them broad stroke ideas about your product, they'll be upset because they think you're going to conceal something. And they won't believe you, and you don't have any credibility with them. The person who's a general sorter, on Christmas Day, they open up the bicycle they got for their kid, or that Santa brought, excuse me, and what happened is, they don't look at the instructions, they just take the whole darn thing and start trying to say, well, this probably goes here, and this probably goes there, and they just go for it. A person who's detail-oriented stops, lays everything out in order, pulls out the manual, reads it thoroughly, and systematically puts it together. And you sell these people rather differently. Can you see how you'd want to sell them differently? It's very, very, very important. And again, you can notice this by the kinds of questions they ask and what they respond to. And you can say, do you want the big picture to start with or do you want the details? You can ask them directly. Last two. Is the person, do they become convinced? Is their buying pattern to make decisions based on past assurances or future possibilities? In other words, let's say somebody wants to buy a particular fund, a mutual fund. Do they look at, well, how long has this thing been around? And if it's been around long enough, then they get convinced? Or does it matter to them not how long it is, but how convinced they are of the possibilities that are there? It's very, very much like necessity versus possibility, but the difference is it's focused on time. So then when you go to sell someone, you know whether to say, well, we've been around 50 years, or whether to say, hey, listen, a lot of companies sell you on how long they've been around. That doesn't matter, does it? Immediately you got rapport. What really matters is what's possible, and here's what we're going to create. And lastly, is there focus on cost or convenience? Most Americans, believe it or not, or probably will believe it, are focused on convenience and not cost, although they will tell you that cost is their focus. Now, it may be different in some European countries. In fact, I've had friends come over, and I've had other people's friends come over who are European, and they're like blown away that we would spend so much more money to just do something fast. You know, why not take your time? But in this country, convenience is really highly valued. If, for example, you talk to car salesmen, what you're going to find out is that car salesmen will tell you the number one thing that a customer will tell them is most important to them in buying a car is cost. But almost always, there are certain elements of convenience or luxury that once they're added in, that'll overcome their feeling about the cost, that that's more important to them than the cost itself. But you better know what somebody's focus is. If their whole focus is on cost, then stop trying to sell them all these other conveniences. It's not going to work. Pay attention to what's most important in somebody as you're dealing with them. So these are 10 strategies. Do you need to know them all? Absolutely not. Do you have to use them all with every client? Absolutely not. Would they be powerful for you to have in your head and be able to notice them when they pop up and utilize them? Absolutely yes. And that's your opportunity. So again, here's your task. Play with them. Take them to a party and start discovering how people's minds work, including your own. Have some fun with them. And by having fun, you'll get good. And you know something? When you're good at something, you tend to do it a lot. And when you do it a lot, all of a sudden it's easy and you get the power of it. So don't go use this right now. But if you wanted to, I guess you could. Use as many or as few as you want, but pay attention especially to people's convincer strategies, and especially do they move towards or away from. And do they need to be convinced within themselves, or do you need to convince them? I'll give you one final example. I had a person come to me in a seminar one time. It was a guest event where I was marketing a seminar. And this person came up, and I heard them right behind. Two people were talking to me, and I was waiting. This person was waiting to talk to me. And they said, yeah, well, I'm not going to go that you're not going to go that program, are you? You don't have to. I mean, you don't have to do this because you don't have to. It's not necessary. Come on. Plus, I mean, what if you go, and it's not as good as he says it is? And besides that, he says it's good. That doesn't mean it is. Lots of times people say it's good and it's not. Now, what have you learned in that person's conversation quickly? They move towards or away from which one? Away. Are they possibility or necessity? Are they a matcher or a mismatcher? Are they internal probably or external? They're probably internal because they're telling other people what they should feel. People who are external don't usually tell you how to feel. They ask you what you think. So I turned to this person. They came up and this person said, I'm not convinced. You're so great as a salesman, you convince me. And I turned to that person and said, sir, I said, I really appreciate your input, but there's absolutely no way I could convince you. You're the kind of person who could only convince themselves. What happened? Instant rapport, because this guy went, God, this guy's brighter than I thought. Because I complimented him by saying, you're the only one who convinced you. And he knows that's true. He couldn't fight me on that. And I said, by the way, you're also the only person who knows who would lose out if you didn't go to the program. I did not say, if you don't go, you're going to lose. That would have made him mad. I said, you're the only one who knows who would lose if you don't go. And his brain went, yeah. And by the way, I said, you know, you don't need to go. And since he's a mismatcher, what do you think he went in his head? He needs to go. He turned around, within about 3 minutes of conversation, turned around, went to the back, and signed up. Three of my staff were there. They couldn't believe it. They said, what did you do with this guy? I said, all I did was motivate him in his style instead of mine. So pay attention. You can listen to these over and over again until you master them. See, it was worth it to learn how to drive a stick shift so you could have the pleasure that that brings. It'll be worth it to learn buying patterns. The rest of selling is easy. Let's just go to the next step and let's build up somebody to a point where they feel absolutely convinced, where they have that level of commitment to move on, and let's wrap up this sale now.
Great. So before we go to the next step, let's take a minute to integrate what you've learned, to go over and really, really pay attention to what you've learned. Now, this is a session that you might want to go back and listen to a couple of times. It may take a little extra time to learn these strategies initially, but once you do it, you'll gain so much value, and not only professionally, but in your personal life as well. It's really, really worth the effort. I know it was for me. In addition, let's get some practice using these strategies, or metaprograms as they're called. When you go home tonight, or in the office, or any opportunity that you have to talk to people, what I want you to do is talk to your spouse or your friends or your coworkers or anybody that you can talk to and see how many of these distinctions you can get. If you're anything like me, you can probably already think of some without even talking to those people. For example, do you already know somebody, say like your boss, that is a moving toward possibility person? Or your spouse, perhaps, is a completion person who can't go to sleep until they've watched the last of the credits on a late movie at night? Or does your son's Boy Scout leader have a convincer strategy that is consistent for moving the boys into the next level? And does this explain why your son has been a Cub Scout for 14 years? Or, for example, I know there are people in my life that are mismatchers. They seem to be a bit more argumentative. If you tell them something, they're definitely going to come back and challenge you on it. Have a conversation with someone close to you and see how many of their metaprograms you can uncover. Remember, there are 10 strategies for sorting information, and here they are. Are they motivated towards or away from? Do they seem to have an internal or an external frame of reference? Are they possibility or necessity thinkers? Are they a matcher or mismatcher? Do they sort by self, others, or details? Are they a process person or a completion person? How do they get convinced? Are they visually oriented, auditory, kinesthetic, and how long does it take for them to get convinced? Do they want to know all of the details or the big picture first? Is it the future that draws them most or gives them certainty, or is it the past? Are they cost or convenience oriented? So here we are. This is the close of this session. Great job. So go out now and do your assignment and have fun with it. And we'll join Tony again tomorrow for the next session entitled Creating Conviction and Test Closing.